Oh, I think we're good. Hey, sweet, we're good. All right, awesome. So, everybody, welcome to 5. I guess the 5 of the Influence to Influence podcast. It's been a journey. You're just kind of like talking a little bit about it. This person that you're going to be seeing, hearing from, let's see, she's a queen. She's like best. To me personally, the number one dancer to me personally in the world. She's a recent graduate. She's going to be going to an amazing college. It's kind of hot, literally and figuratively. And she's doing amazing other things. So welcome, Ashley Brackett. How are you doing?
Hello, everyone. I am so glad to be on here today, this morning, and just chat about, you know, my journey and just try to give some insight into how to make your journey work.
I love it. Yeah. It's a journey. So before we kind of get everything, you want to tell everybody like where you are right now, what you've been up to?
Yeah. So I'm at the mountains. We are still in, three days ago, the government just like released everyone to non-essential businesses to open, but everything here is still pretty like closed, but it is much smaller of a town than like Wake Forest, Raleigh, and some other places. So we're just kind of chilling in the mountains. So that's been fun. Awesome. Doing lots of online classes, which isn't the best, but we're making it work.
How far are you in senior year?
So I graduated early. Okay. So I graduated January 27th. Mm-hmm. I still, if we had graduation, would graduate with my class, but I graduated early. So I'm glad that I don't have to focus on schoolwork during this time, because I think that would be really hard. But yeah, with school, just waiting for this whole thing to be over with, if it ever is over with.
Exactly. I feel like I saw something online where it was like, when all this ends, we're going to have the biggest, it was like St. Patrick's, Cinco de Mayo, Mother's Day, graduation party pretty much ever.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I guess you kind of like started already, but if you wouldn't mind just telling us like, who are you? Where are you from? You know, who are you?
Yeah, so my name's Ashley Brackett, and I was born and raised and have lived my whole life in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I started dancing when I was 7. Mm-hmm. I did all the sports you could name until I started dancing. I did basketball, soccer, tennis. I did basketball at the Y, and I scored for the wrong team, and my mom pulled me out of basketball. She said, this is not going to work. She almost named me Jordan after Michael Jordan, but good thing she didn't, because I did not live up to his legacy. They put me in dance. They were like, this is the last, like, if this doesn't work, we don't know what is. Like, and I was still kind of doing tennis on the side of that. But I danced for about 3 years until I started competing. Mm-hmm. And I danced at a studio in Wake Forest called Wake Forest Academy of Fine Arts. And I danced there for probably, 7 till 8th grade. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many years that is. I think it was like 9 years. Like 8 years, I want to say. I was there.
How often?
I was doing 5 days a week, probably 3 hours a day. So not as much as I do now, but still for as young as I was, it was a lot.
Yeah.
So I'd go to school, come home, go to the studio from like 5 to 8, 6 to 9 every night. And that kind of set me up for understanding like time management right away from when I was younger. And I really like fell in love with it, because once I got to like my 7th and 8th grade years, I was just kind of realizing like, wow, like I could do this for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And realizing that I needed to go somewhere. This was after going to LA for a summer. I was like, I need to go somewhere that better suits my needs and can push me more. So freshman year, I moved to a studio still in Wake Forest, just down the road, called No Limits Dance Center.
Right.
And
is that the same one? Is it Hampton?
Yes. Hampton. Gotcha. Yes. We went to No Limits together. And I'm still there until the year's over, but, I've been there all my 4 years of high school. And it's been the greatest gift. Like I the best decision I've ever made in my life, I think will have ever made, like, my whole life. I'm 80 years old. This is still going to be the best decision I've ever made. But I just, like, once I got there, I saw how much bigger the picture could be. And I was just at a place that was more, like, up to the times, like, just really fitting into all my needs, basically. So I've been there the past 4 years, and yeah, that's just kind of my dance journey as far as that. There's a lot of things in between all of that that we can get to, but that's kind of the overall layout of what my journey's been.
And that's awesome. Like, kind of going back with the first dance studio that you were at, from 7 years old till 8th grade. So, like, where, I know you kind of breezed over it a little bit, how you just couldn't, that's where you had that time management. You had those, like, there was a mentor of mine, he calls them, like, private victories are better than public victories. So you had those, like, private victories of, like, understanding time. So, like, when you first started doing dancing, like, was it, like, you were just doing everything so beautifully and elegantly? Or, like, what was that journey when you were learning? I see the eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I was not, I mean, I'd say, like, the first 2 years I danced, it was like, we don't really know if this is going to work out. Like, I had natural flexibility. Like, I was watching baby videos the other day, and I used to walk on my toes, like, my toes curled over. So that's a sign that I was meant to do this. But at first, no, it was not, it wasn't like it clicked right away, for sure. I do have, like, a lot of natural ability. Like, I can hear music. I'm flexible. Like, I didn't have to work for my flexibility like a lot of people do. And then I have good feet. And, like, I just do have a lot of natural ability, but I did have to work for, you know, work really hard in each style to, you know, try to, there's no such thing as perfection, but try to perfect it to my best. But yeah, I would say my biggest growing year at that studio was 6th to 7th grade.
Why's that?
I don't know why, but, like, looking at videos, it's, like, mind blowing. Like, I look at myself in 6th grade and I'm like, okay, like, looks like a little kid, like, that just likes to dance. And then 7th grade, it's like, oh, like, she actually can dance. And it's just, it's fun to go back and watch videos, even though my 7th grade self I still cringe at, but it's better than the 6th grade self. But yeah, that was, like, a year, my biggest growth year. I don't exactly know why. I think I probably, like, grew into my body more than, you know, 6th grade I was a little string bean, and then 7th grade I was actually, like, starting to, like, get muscular and, like, look like a dancer.
Right.
Instead of just, like, a skinny little girl.
Right.
But I think that year I definitely really took it more serious, and realized that, again, this is something I could do for the rest of my life.
And I like how you said that, like, you acknowledge the fact that you did have these natural gifts that, like, you know, you, like, you're flexible, you understand music, like, you had really good feet, which, like, for people who don't know about dance, the only reason I know about that is I used to do, like, taekwondo. And so, like, if you, I hurt my toe really bad, because when I was warming up for a roundhouse kick, I flexed instead of pointed my toe. And so let's just say my toe met the pad. So, like, I know it's not something easy when you just wake up and you have amazing feet, but, like, I like how you acknowledged you had the skill, but you just didn't say, like, oh, like, I have this skill, I don't need to worry about anything, but that you saw it as, like, oh, I have it, but now I need to work 10 times harder.
Right, and that's I've taught at my studio this year, and I assisted last year. That's another thing, like, in anything you do, you know, you're going to have, whatever you're drawn to, it's probably because you have gifts that help you succeed in whatever that, you know, goal is. And yeah, I see that I'm flexible and stuff like that. And then as I'm teaching younger kids, you know, I'm like, you know, you're flexible, but that's not going to get you. That's not going to last you till you're 40. Cause when you can't put your leg behind your head, what are you going to do?
Right.
So you have to, you know, use those abilities and work 10 times harder just because you have the natural ability. Like, I've seen dancers that can't even get their leg past 90 degrees, and they're better than the dancer that can put it behind their head. Wow. Like, simple stuff like that is just, like, kind of an analogy for many other things. Mm-hmm. Like, just because it doesn't look as pretty doesn't mean it's not. You know, that person probably had to work way harder than the person with the natural ability. But, yeah, for anything, I think that, you know, never rely on what you feel comfortable, like, oh, I got that in the bag.
Mm-hmm. You have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is good. We're talking about earlier dancing, and we'll come back to the other parts that you just said. But, like, how was family life? I know I've had the opportunity and, like, pleasure of knowing mom and dad, but how's that?
Yeah. I think being an only child, it's definitely different than if I had siblings, all the attention's on me. Mm-hmm. but my family's, like, always been very supportive of anything I wanted to do. You know, years ago when I would talk about, you know, I don't know if I want to go to college, if I want to go to college, if I'm going in state, out of state, what college is right for me. You know, they were very supportive in, you know, take a gap year, don't go to college, go to college, like, do what I feel drawn to do. Mm-hmm. And even till this day, my dad's like, you know, if you go to college and you don't like it after a year, like, don't go anymore. Like, right. If that's not your thing, then, like, just do your thing. Mm-hmm. And so I know that not all parents are that supportive of their kids' dreams. I know that just from the studio moms, and, like, some of my friends' parents who don't dance but have other ideas in mind, and, you know, it's very, like, set in stone. Mm-hmm. So I am very grateful to have parents that support whatever I do. And yeah, so my mom usually always travels with me. Unless I'm flying, I usually go by myself. Mm-hmm. Because that's usually with the company that I work for, which we can get into.
Oh, yes. Later. I'm so excited to get into that.
But if we drive, my mom always comes with me. My dad usually comes to the in-town stuff just because of work and stuff. But actually, my mom had to go. My grandpa passed away a couple months ago, and she had to go to his funeral, and we had a competition. I was like, you know what, mom, it's fine. Like, I'll just drive myself. Like, it's whatever. So mm-hmm. we went going to Charlotte. So I drove myself, my dance teacher, and another girl that was staying in a hotel room with me. And I never realized, like, how much the support from my mom being in the audience, even when I don't think about it, like, means to me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I was just off that weekend, but, like, I had, like, a complete meltdown backstage. Like, this has never happened before. I couldn't stop crying. I was saying to my dance teacher, I was like, what is happening? I had already danced.
So a lot of emotions. That over with.
But, yeah, like, and it, I didn't even, like, now looking back, I'm like, it's because my mom wasn't there. But at the moment, I didn't even realize it's because my mom wasn't there. But and there's some kids' parents who don't come to all the competitions, all the stuff. And so I am really grateful that my parents have the ability and do come to all my performances and stuff like that. So
how important do you think support is, just in not only in dancing, but in everything that you're doing and other people are doing?
Yeah, I think support is everything. And I've had my journey with finding friends that support what I do. Because, you know, like, in middle school, especially in, like, my prime time, like, to me, that was my prime time. Like, my body was changing. I had to keep up with everything that was going on. I was learning how to, like, time management, how to go into high school. Like, that was...
It's like when you really put all your chips in everything.
Yes. And I had to decide, you know, about certain friends. Like, are they really, you know, when I get a text like, hey, everyone's hanging out, want to come? And I'm like, no, I have dance. And their response is, well, can't you just skip it? That, like, not having a friend that understands that is wrong to say, and would, like, my friends now never ask me that. They would, like, they just know how important it is to me, and that this is something that I'm putting my heart and soul into every day because I want to do this for the rest of my life. So having friends that support you and don't try to change, you know, your goals, that is a huge thing that I've had to deal with. Support from your family, yeah, but if you don't have support from your family, you better have support from your friends. Like, And don't settle for friends that don't support you, because there are people out there who will support you. Mm. And, you know, you have to take a step back and look at who you're surrounding yourself with, because that's a really big factor in being successful.
Mm. Wow. I'm like, I'm telling you, I love doing this on Monday, because I love Mondays, but like, this is like, it's kind of selfish. I get so much like energy from this, but like what you just said is I feel like it's something that we don't learn. Like there's no class for it at school. Like financial intelligence, but like emotional intelligence. And I know when some people hear that, they're like, oh, it's woo-woo. But like, you know, you just said it the best way, because when everyone's doing something, whether it's dance, whether it's art, whether it's cooking, like soccer, whatever it is, there's that point where you have to like separate yourself. And like some people take it the wrong way, where it's like, oh, like, okay, Ashley doesn't want to hang out with us anymore. She thinks she's better than us. Like, okay, who does she think she is? But it's like, it's understanding that for you to do something you've never done, you have to become somebody that you've never been. And that it's part of kind of like that process. But the way you just said it is perfect. Like you have to realign yourself with friends who are going to help like propel you. Because of course you still need that time where, even for me, that's like one of the hardest things. And like the past couple months has been good, but like you need that time where you're shut off everything that you like to do, like dancing and everything like that, working out. And you know, it's hard because like you shut it off and you're like, I could be dancing right now, or I could be working out right now. But you need that kind of time to like revise, and kind of like what you're doing right now, the mountain, just kind of like that time to really like reset.
Yeah, completely.
So before we go back to the journey, actually, well, no, we're going to go back to the journey, then I'll ask that. But you mentioned how you went from the first studio to now the studio that you're at, and now you're finishing. Like, what are some, why did that studio, why is it different? And like, what are some things you learned and struggles that you had there and you've seen with, even with other people when you were there?
Yeah. I was coming from a studio that had a huge rec program. So in the dance world and in really any sport, there's always there's levels.
Okay.
So the studio I was coming from had a huge rec program. So they probably had 320 students, and only 100 of those students would compete. So the rest of those students would just take classes throughout the week and only be on stage during recital. They'd have a recital dance. Which is great, but when you want to go to competition every weekend and, you know, really make this your life, there was just too many people for me to feel connected to anyone.
Not enough focus.
And there was just a lack of, it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that when you're at the top, like I was, me and my like four best friends who also moved to my new studio with me, when you're at the top, it's like, you feel like you have to sink down to everyone else's level when people don't step up.
Right.
And so moving to this new studio, there was no stepping down.
Mm-hmm.
It's everyone has to step up. And that's the biggest thing, because when I got there, you know, I was probably at the same level as people like Hampton and four friends that came with me and a couple other girls. Like, we were all at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just me and the three or four people that I was surrounded with for the past 3 years on the elite team at the old studio. It was now there's eight of us. So who's gonna pull who up?
It's like the big fish in the little pond.
And it didn't feel like that, like in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, there's just so, the studio that I'm at right now is so supportive. I mean, yeah, there's like little bits of drama everywhere. It's all girls. You can't get away from it. From ages 5 to 18, I'm the oldest one, but you can't get away from that. But everyone is so supportive, and everyone is there because they love it, not because they just want an after-school activity. And so that's a big difference too, surrounding yourself with people who have not the same goals, but who want to work just as hard as you do. Because it's definitely hard when you're the hardest worker in the room. There's no one to pull you up.
And And you say that, and I like the way you say that, because some people might be like, oh, like, what does she mean? But it's more of, and I feel like you said it the best, like, when you're at that level where you're like, oh, like, you're looking around and you're like, I'm the only one here. And, like, a lot of people think it's like, once you get to the top, because, I mean, of course, there's always somebody above you, of course. Right. But, like, once you get to that level, they think, like, oh, like, you've made it. But in all reality, when you get there, that's, you just got, like you just said it, that's just where you just got started. Like, when you get to that level, you're like, okay, I think I'm good. And then you turn around and you're like, oh, there's, I'm only on, like, level 2 out of, like, 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a girl at my studio who, from day one, like, I stepped into the door. She was, I think, 12 mm-hmm. when I moved to the studio. And, like, she pushes, she's my duet partner for the past 2 years, but she pushes me like no other. Like, it'd be 9:30 at night and we're in duet rehearsal. And I'm like, can we just like mark it a few times? And she's like, Ashley, we need to do it full out. And she's like 13. And I'm like, you're right.
I need to
do it full out. Like, like people like that were like, I've just found inspiration in so many different ways. And at the studio that I'm at now, like, that's where I was able to not learn how to choreograph, but like, mm-hmm. yes, learn how to choreograph, like, practice choreographing. We have choreography right. classes. We have improv classes. We have strengthening classes on top of all of our technique stuff and our rehearsals and stuff like that. So there was just a lot of different like branches mm-hmm. that I was able to, that I like got exposed to that the other studio didn't offer.
You were like thrown into it and just kind of like, pretty much find your own way inside it.
Yeah. And, that's basically what I have to say about that. But
so, you know, kind of going on towards the next thing is, I want to say, like, I'm pretty sure she's a mentor of yours, the coach, the owner of the, I only know her from her Instagram handle. Yes. 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 Like, what's the relationship with her? Like, how did that kind of come about? Cause I feel like I see y'all like everywhere and everything like that. And I can definitely see the smile on your face already.
She is like my, everyone at the studio calls them her, their second mom.
Uh-huh.
I texted her yesterday for Mother's Day and I was like, if you were my mom, you'd kill me.
Uh-huh.
But she's like my big sister. Like we seriously tell each other everything,
mm-hmm.
like everything. Like her and I have told each other things that no one else knows. And it's just funny that, like, I stepped into this studio and now I have like this relationship with this woman who like inspires me in so many different ways. Like not just the dance side of things, but like just as the person that she is. And she, if she sees this, she'll probably laugh. She'll be like, yeah, what? But, and she really like has a relationship with each one of her students and wants each student to succeed, which is something that you can't find everywhere.
Right.
Someone who genuinely cares about each person and not only their dance, you know, what they do at the studio, but becoming a smarter dancer, a smarter person, mm-hmm. a better person, things that outside of dance are just important.
So she's focusing on all around, not just one thing.
Yeah. And I mean, she's very, she's tough. When we clean dances, we clean. Like, she is queen of that. She can choreograph her butt off. She can, I mean, she's such a good teacher. But the things that you take away from her classes, like, without even realizing it, you're becoming so much smarter because she forces you to think
mm-hmm.
and just a better person. Like, it's not about you, especially mm-hmm. in a group dance. It's not about you. It's about the team.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take the eye out of it.
Exactly.
Save There's that no for your IMT. Solo.
Yeah. Exactly. And so do you think, and you kind of mentioned, do you think it's important to have that person in your life who kind of doesn't sugarcoat things?
Oh,
like they'll tell it to you extremely dry.
Yeah. And like, she is that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Like if something, like anything that goes on outside the studio, she sees it on social media or something and she doesn't agree with it, she will hit you up. So be expecting it. But it's just because she cares. And I think that it's so important for someone in her position, she's a teacher, an influencer, to you know, not brush things aside. Like, mm-hmm. we are her girls. We are a part of her studio, a part of, you know, the her creation that mm-hmm. she's going. This is year 7 of her owning the studio.
Wow. She might have to be next. I might have to keep.
Yeah.
Might have to do a double.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. But yeah, she has this platform basically to influence and motivate, and she does that. She doesn't waste that, you know, title mm-hmm. that she has, or think that she's, you know, too busy, too good to, you know, talk to her girls every day,
right.
you know, invite them over to the pool. Like, it really is a family, and like, that is so important, because that's something that I did not have at the other studio. And it's hard when you're, you know, yeah, you may be the best, but when you're in a room doing your solo and you're getting no support, you get no love, like, what? Like, mm-hmm. it's even if you're the best, even if everyone knows that you're the best, you're at the top, you're the hardest worker, but no one shows you love, it's like, why am I here?
It's that time when you're, it's that night, and it's that time where you're just kind of like looking around and you're not really receiving that love, and you kind of second guess yourself, like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So during the time, I'm saving for the company that you're with, because that stuff, like, every time, first of all, you'll see her handles, her Instagram, everything on here, and I advise you follow her. if you're sliding into her DMs, make sure it's good stuff, no bad things.
Thanks.
But I always like message them, like, please do it like this song, or like when she does stuff, you can just see it's well put together. Like, it doesn't. She doesn't just put on a song and go, because I'm pretty sure she could. Like, I forgot to mention, we worked together at the Y, and her nickname was Goldilocks. I mean, I wonder why. But when she would do dancing with the kids, you could see that, like, coach kind of come on. And, like, now hearing about your mentor, I can see how that relation came, because she would be, of course, when she was talking to the kids, she would make sure that they're doing the dance, but she'd always make sure that they do it to the best of the best perfectionist way they could, but also
best of their ability.
Exactly. But yeah. Also understanding it. Cause I remember I still have, and I think I can still find someone who used to do those videos. And it was just so cool seeing, like, I personally love the dancing when they did it, because like the power it gave, because mostly it was the girls who would do it. The power it just gave, you could see these girls being comfortable, like doing dances and everything, was amazing. So commend you for that. What are, you know, I know there's a lot of great things that happened, but what are some struggles that, you know, that have happened, the obstacles you've had to overcome being in, you know, high school, being an athlete who is kind of not just doing something temporarily, but wanting to do something long-term? Like, what are some struggles that you've kind of been through, maybe still going through, and that you've had to overcome that other people can learn from?
Yeah. I'll do like one that's kind of dance related and one that's not. Being told no.
Mm.
Both summers that I went out to LA, I auditioned for this program, kind of like the one I'm on now, but it was with a different company,
mm-hmm.
To tour and assist them, work competition, do all that. And both years I was, after the audition, I got a no. And that wasn't easy to take. Like, it was something that I had all my middle school years, like, dreamed of doing. It was everything I wanted to do. And I, now looking back on it, I'm like, I was not ready for that opportunity. Freshman, eighth grade summer and freshman summer were the 2 years I auditioned. Like, no, I was not ready. And if I did get on, my dance career up until this point would be so different than what it is now, because those no's, like that second no, especially that one, like, hit. I was like, okay, I'm done with them. I was like, they don't want me, then they're not going to get me. I was like, okay, they're gone. So what's the next opportunity? So I went back to the studio and I worked harder. And now I'm with this incredible company that, like, if I was on the other one, I probably wouldn't have even, you know, shot my shot.
Exactly.
This company. But everything happens for a reason, and I truly believe that. And until you, like, experience that, like, revelation, you won't understand it. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Like, everything truly happens for a reason. Those no's have led me to this opportunity, which I think is much bigger than that other one was, mm-hmm. just saying. And then I think the second thing is missing out. That's a big, I mean, not that I, there was, there's never been a point in like high school where I'd be at the studio and I didn't want to be there. It was just like FOMO, just fear of missing out of what was going on. And like quarantine has been kind of hard because I've seen some of my friends, but then like my parents are still like, oh, you don't need to go do that. And like, I completely understand, but it's like, oh, all this time I couldn't do anything. And now I have all this time and I still can't do anything. And it's like trying to find, you know, and some nights like I get really upset about it and I'm like, man, I haven't seen my friends in like months. I haven't hung out with anyone in months. I've been dancing 5 hours a day for 40 days straight. And it just gets really like, I get in my head and then I sit back and I'm like, I hang out with a friend for like 2 hours and I'm like, all right, I'm good. All right. Like, I just need that little, not be a dancer for a little bit and then I can jump back into it. But yeah, I definitely think that hearing no in anything is so difficult because it's like, it feels like it's the end of the world because you've trained or studied for this moment. Mm-hmm. And you've spent all this time to get to this one little spot and it's like all that time's gone. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, so I have to start over? Yeah, you do. You gotta start over.
And that, I swear you are like literally just speaking my mind. Cause like that, it's like the hardest thing. And one of the things we do with like the Kids at Leaders Club is that like, of course, like without teaching them like, you know, stuff regarding spirit, mind, and body. But like one of the most important things is just like, there's always like another way. Like there's always, legally, there's always another way of being able to do something. But like the way you just said is perfect because everybody, they think that like, oh, if we work out, and we've worked out together and all that, it's hard for me to keep up. If I curl these dumbbells like once, I'm gonna be like super jacked. Or if like I do these crunches, like I'm gonna have the best at six pack. Like if I do squats, I'm gonna have the biggest peach, and like people are gonna be like, oh my god, you look amazing. But it's like, no, you need to do that like 1,000 times, and then just when you think like you've done enough, then you need to do some more.
Oh yeah.
But exactly. And then you just mentioned how like I think the FOMO, those apart from a lot of things, like those are the things I can we can relate a lot, because like mm-hmm. at least for me, when I graduated high school 2014, I knew like the jocks, like I knew like the cheerleaders, and like I knew like the Yu-Gi-Oh kids and like the Pokemon kids. But like at the end of the day, all I did was like play Call of Duty when I went home. So it wasn't until like after everybody graduated and they left, and I was like, oh, what do I like to do? That's why like this time, I know it's not a good time. It's not a good time for some people because they're losing businesses, some people are losing their lives and everything. But like this time reminds me of the past like 5 years, and it's crazy because in my head I'm like, wow, like these 3 months are what I did for like 5 years. And like I wonder, like it's amazing because I'm like, wow, if people really take advantage of this, what they'll be able to do will be crazy. Because it's like, it's not like you're grounded and everybody else is doing everything. It's like, no, everybody's grounded.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I guess now it's like, you know, now tell us the company, like tell us the coolest things that you're doing now. I always see the pictures, I always see the videos and everything like that. And actually I want to learn more about it too.
Yeah. So I'm with a company called Dance Makers. Mm-hmm. So all these competitions and conventions that dancers go to, they're all like different businesses basically.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain how like they work in like an easier way for?
Yeah. So there's a convention, I'm just going to go by Dance Makers because that's my company, my love, but all the companies are basically the same as far as the setup and like how conventions and competitions go. So dancers will get there like Friday afternoon. There will be solos on Friday nights. Usually senior stuff is Friday nights just so the younger kids get more sleep. So it'll be, but every competition is different, but seniors, solos, duets, trios, they get all those over with Friday night. Saturday morning, you wake up at, as an assistant, you wake up at about 5:30.
Oh.
Which for sushi, that's normal. For me, like 8 o'clock's pushing it. But so you wake up at like 5:30 and you're in charge of everything except for like the lighting and stuff. Like you have to get everything together so that when the faculty gets down there, you can start going. So the faculty is the professionals that work for the company. Mm-hmm. So at Dance Makers, there's about 10 of them. And they come to every city, and there's a whole schedule that goes out every weekend for the classes. And usually there's 12 of us that are assistants on Dance Makers. We're called the Collective. That's kind of the title of the assistant program. And there's usually about 5 or 6 in each city. So the company sponsors each collective member for 7 cities, meaning they pay for flights, hotel, for 7 cities. And then whatever other ones you go to, you pay for those. So it actually kind of works out. Like Richmond, I can drive to. The South Carolina ones, I can drive to. So I had competitions on some of those weekends. But you can definitely make like 12 doable. There's some people who go to like all the cities. But with a studio, I could only go like every other weekend because of my studio stuff. But so we'll get up the crack of dawn on Saturday mornings. We'll set up. There will be like a drop party, which is like a warm up from 7:30 to 8, and then classes will start. So you'll have, I think it's 4 classes until lunch. So you'll go from 8 to 12. Every class is an hour. You'll have a lunch break for 45 minutes, and then you'll do 2 more classes, which are one's an hour and one's 45 minutes. And then competition starts at 3:30. So classes end at 2:30, competition starts at 3:30. So as a assistant, we've just danced all day. We're literally disgusting. Our hair is like, it's like beach hair.
I can relate, honestly.
Because you're so sweaty and it's disgusting. But we run to the bathroom. We have to be ready for our meeting at 2:45. So we have 15 minutes, and this is after, for every class, you have to get the teacher's mic set up, make sure the music's right, turn on their music, do all of the tech stuff, and take care of the teachers. You're really there for them so that they can make the class for the students as best as possible. So it's all about, the company's all about giving. You know, you give your heart, sweat, soul, blood for the whole weekend so that these dancers can have the best experience possible. Some of them, it's their 15th Dance Maker. Some of them, it's their first. And you have to treat everyone like their family and like they've never been there before and really give them the Dance Maker's experience. So once we get dressed into all black attire to work competition by 2:45, we'll have a meeting for 15 minutes. Then we'll all go to our designated spots for competition. So someone will work backstage, girls' dressing room. We have one guy on collective, so if he's there, guys' dressing room. And just we run the competition. So everything that goes on and off stage, we have to keep track of and make sure we're calling numbers. It's a lot easier when there's solos, but when there's big group dances, like of 25 people, and you have 5 groups of 25 back there, it gets pretty hectic. So you really have to stay organized, and I love working backstage, but some people, they get really stressed out. So, and I still get stressed. I'm just good at managing stress. Mm-hmm. Other people, not so much. But you know, you kind of find areas that once your dance career is over with, you know, you have all these connections from dancing. Maybe I could be a backstage director. Maybe I could work lighting. You know, they really teach you how to work with people, because no matter what job you do, you're going to have to work with people. Mm-hmm. And as far as the collective goes, you know, they really force us to, it's like I was saying earlier, there's no I in team. It's not about you. It's a lot of companies, like the company that I auditioned for in LA, the 2 years, it's all about the assistants. It's about how good the assistants are, flashing them in everyone's face. And that leads from when I would go and watch the assistants, that leads to feeling like, oh, I want to be like them. And Dance Makers really strives to not put their assistants on that pedestal, because no one wants to be someone else. Like, it's an awful feeling. Like when you're like, I want to be that person, but I'm never going to be that person. How do I be that person? Like, you can.
It's that balance.
Dance Makers is all about being your best self, and just like, it's about dance, but it's not. it's about being a good person. And like, yes, if you want to pursue it, you have to be able to dance. You have to be able to take corrections quickly. And as far as the dance side of things, yeah, we have late night rehearsals because on Sunday after classes, competition on Saturday usually ends at like 11, 11:30. Well, sometimes 10 if they get done early. And then we'll have like a 30-minute rehearsal for our piece that we do on Sunday. And then Sunday we have to get up at 5:30 again, do the same thing again, except at 3, convention's over, and we'll do our rapid show where we perform two pieces, a hip-hop piece and a contemporary piece. And then they select dances from studios that were like standouts of the weekend, and they get to dance. And it's really just the owners of the company live in Charleston, and we had like a whole collective weekend where we took our headshots and stuff. And they're just such a giving company. Mm-hmm. And it's so different. And for any dancer who may be watching this, any of my friends who have been to Dance Makers will agree, it's such a different experience than any other convention out there. And there's hundreds of conventions. Mm-hmm. And I've not been to all of them, but Dance Makers is really one of a kind. And it's such an honor to work for a company like them. And like, not a lot of companies don't pay for their assistants, but Dance Makers pays for their assistants because they choose 12. A lot of companies have 50 assistants.
So I see like it's the one thing that apart from that you mentioned, I like is like how you mentioned it's like an elite group of 12 people. But one thing I got from it, it's not about you at all. Like, it's literally like you guys are like the best of the best, but it's actually not even about you, but it's putting the best of the best and like, I don't want to say bringing you down, but like, okay, you're the best. Now you're helping everyone. And I feel like, and I mean, you've explained it a bit, but for some people, I appreciate that can be like a shocking thing. It's like, wait a second, I thought it was going to be about me, but it's like, oh, now it's like, it's not even about me at all. Like, I'm just here for other people. So like, was that like different, but like, I know you mentioned it, but how is that kind of like stopping and realizing like, okay, nice, this is not about me. Like it's about Jennifer, et cetera.
Yeah. And like when you're on stage assisting, especially in the first, like, I was like, it was our first city. And I was like, okay, I have to look perfect. I'm an assistant, but that's not at all what it's about. Like, get out of your head. They always tell you, get out of your head because you start thinking and then you're not helping.
Right.
Because the people on the floor, when you're on stage, can see that you look stressed or that you're thinking. Uh-huh. And like, when, as dancers might understand this, but like you learn a combo and then you don't, when you're doing the combo, you don't think about the steps. Like it just flows. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Like you don't think about, okay, now I'm going to reach. It's just like, duh, duh. Like it just goes. I don't know how to explain it, but so when you get out of your head and you're not thinking about how you look and you're just doing it because you have to, because everyone needs you to. I look at my dancing now and I'm like, whoa, because I got out of my head and stopped thinking about myself and being selfish. Mm-hmm. I'm so much better because it's not that serious. It is, but it's not. Like if you mess up, no one cares. So. It actually makes them on the floor feel better if you mess up because they're probably messing up too. Mm-hmm. So you just learn that the things that you think are a big deal aren't, and the things that you thought weren't a big deal are.
Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So now, you know, you're getting ready to go to, actually mention it. You mentioned you're going to Arizona, but what are you going to go do there?
So I am going to University of Arizona to major in dance. Mm-hmm. I haven't decided if I'm going to minor in anything. I'll probably declare that sophomore year. I'll probably minor in like interior design or fashion.
Nice.
But yeah, the dance program, I'm super excited about it. There's 40 of us in the program, well, mm-hmm. in the freshman class. So there's probably like, I think there's like 100 and maybe 140 amongst all the like freshman, sophomore, junior, senior.
Wow.
So not a lot of people get in. Like USC, I auditioned for Southern California, mm-hmm. and I got an audition, which I still couldn't believe. There's 6,000 applicants, and they chose 125 to audition in person. Yeah, so I got an in-person audition, but then they only choose about 25 from that.
Wow. It's
very selective. Whoa. Yeah, very selective. It's hard. But just to even got an audition and, like, work with some of the teachers there was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I love that Arizona is, like, I'm going to get the college feel, but, like, their dance program is elite. Like, it's amazing.
Nice. So, you know, during this time, we kind of, you know, we talked about how you had already graduated early. And I'm going to have you talk about it when we see each other when we're working out. Like, you had already graduated early because you knew, again, you, from the skills that you learned, and kind of even going back, like, there's some people don't realize that, like, you might have learned a skill a long time ago. It might not be effective there, but it's going to help you throughout life. So, like, the time management skill that you learned all the way back here is now helping you, or where you told me how you graduated early, but you're still doing the dancing, and how you're traveling. But how currently has, you know, COVID-19 kind of impacted your senior year, you know, quote unquote?
Yeah.
And these past 2 months, two months. Yeah.
Well, I lost the last five cities of my Dance Makers tour. Mm-hmm. So I was supposed to go to Chicago, like one or two other places, Baton Rouge and New Orleans. Those were all canceled. So that really stinks because the program, you're only on it for a year. They choose a new 12 every year. Yeah. So it is, I was pretty bummed about it, but they're going to tell us in 4 days if we're having nationals, which is at the end of June. So there will be a definite yes or no in 4 days. And nationals, I really hope we have it. I mean, honestly, so we have like our last hurrah, but they have to think about, you know, what's safe and what's legal. Obviously, there's going to be hundreds, thousands of people there. So they have to take that into account. So I can't be selfish about it. But as far as, you know, I graduated early and, you know, was okay with missing out on all the extra high school stuff because that just wasn't my thing. But now I'm like, oh, I graduated early to sit around and do nothing. But for the month of February and stuff, like, it was really good. And first semester, I only did two classes this year, total, two classes.
Wow.
So I also want to say, if you are a high school student and your counselor tells you that colleges won't like if you graduate early, don't listen to them, because I'm going to an out-of-state school across the country, and they didn't care.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's all about the results.
And it's about you. Yeah. Like, if whatever works for you, whatever is best for you, you got to do you. But, so yeah, I mean, all my high school life, my counselors would say, oh, no, colleges won't like that. Don't graduate early. Don't do early release unless you're going to go to Wake Tech. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove you wrong.
Thanks.
But, I mean, it definitely has been different for everyone. And, you know, if I think about, oh, I missed my last five Dance Maker cities, you know, it sucks. But I also have to think about, you know, what about these people who are losing their houses? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, I can go to Dance Makers next year,
mm-hmm.
like, at a city. Like, I can fly out, you know, whenever it works for me. Like, there's just such bigger things. And everyone, it's not just me. Like, everyone is losing something here in the whole world. Like, so it makes it a little bit easier to know that it's not like, oh, everything's being ripped away from me. It's like, it's everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true. And I feel like that's like a realization that, like, some people haven't had yet, or some people are just kind of, they're like, oh my God, like, I can't hang out with, like, ABCD. I can't go here. But it's like, I was talking to my brother and I was like, this could have been a whole lot worse. Like, I'm originally from Kenya, but, like, I guess when they had, like, the World War I, World War II, like, somebody could have just been knocking at the door saying, hey, Manuel, you're 18, right? Yep, okay, let's go. We're gonna go to Germany. Like, things could have been so much worse right now. But, you know, but kind of going on with that as we're finishing out, because I want to make sure I respect your time. The last couple, two things that I have is, one, so what are some words to the youth, the people, or not even the youth, words to the people watching this. There's another question that kind of relates to this, but what's the advice that from people that are watching this, doesn't matter what age they are, whether they're parents, kids, et cetera, what can you tell them from your point of view?
One, work smarter, not harder.
Elaborate.
You don't have to, I mean, there's kids who will go to conventions every weekend, like paying all this money just to go take class, just to get their name out there, yada, 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 yada. And you can only pay your way through so much. You know, if you're going to all these places and you're not working your smartest, you know, if your body, if like I've had times where like I had a couple hip injuries last year and I kept pushing through them. And it got to a point where, like, it was painful to walk. And I'm not really sure what was wrong, but I've been going to the chiropractor every 6 weeks now to prevent any injuries like that. But, you know, I had to take a step back and be like, okay, what can I do that's not going to hurt? And you have to listen to your body and take the time to ice and heat. And if you take, like, Advil or anything like that, like, take it. And just be diligent in the way that you – you know, work your body. So I would say that's what I mean by work smarter, not harder, if that makes sense. Also, when you're at the studio and you're running back, you know, maybe the first time you don't give it your all because you're going to have to do it three more times in a row. Like, you have to learn how to make it look like you're dancing your biggest, but not actually. So, I don't know if that helps my non-dancers, but, and then I think another thing would be,
I guess with that question, and you mentioned it a couple times, you've had a lot of people, you know, I guess the main point of the show is also who influenced you, who or what influenced you to influence others, and how do you plan to spread that influence?
I think my dance teacher, Temperance, giving me the opportunity to teach at her studio, I teach like 5 or 6 times a week, that opportunity has given me, has allowed me to see how much I have to offer. Now, that's not to say I do not think of myself as a teacher. Like, at my studio I do, but, like, I could not imagine going to another studio and teaching. That sounds so intimidating. But I think that opportunity just, like, sparked something that I was, like, I have something to give. I don't know exactly what it is, but, like, I have – not everyone can say that they've been at a studio where they've been – the best and knows what it feels like to step down. I don't want any of the kids in my classes to feel like they have to step down because everyone should be stepping up. And when people don't step up, that's their problem. And I'll tell that to my 8-year-olds. Like, if you want to be the best, you have to act like you're the best in every class, not like personality wise, but dance wise. Like, you have to be smart. Like, why aren't you pointing your feet? I don't know. You've learned it. Like, you have to apply. And that opportunity has taught me how to take class better. Teaching and seeing how people take class has taught me how to be a better class taker and really giving the teacher my full attention and, like, listening to every word that comes out of their mouth. So
being a teacher has taught you how to be a better student.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I feel like you're a person who, I mean, I look up to you. It doesn't matter about age or anything like that. I look up to you just because, like, the mindset that you have. Because, like, when I was younger, I played sports, but coming to America, didn't really play sports. And how I really, like, got that mindset was, like, from working out and et cetera. But, like, again, like, we touched on it, but it's, you can have the best skill. You can have the best, if you're back in your hoop days and you're playing back, you can have the best Jordans, the best socks, the best headband, everything. But, like, again, if you don't have it here, then all of it goes away. Cause there's going to be that time when you get the ball and you're like, oh, like, I actually have to do it. But it's that belief, like you said, it's that belief where, like, you have to know you're the best, not necessarily, like, towards other people or, like, to kind of, like, ego. But, like, if you don't think you're the best, then you're not going to be able to become the best.
And I also want to say before we, like, wrap this up, because, like, working out is such a big thing for the both of us, but I, you know, grew up doing triathlons at the Y and, like, was always just an active kid. Like, it wasn't forced on me. I just liked it. I liked to swim, run, bike. Like, I just liked it. And I think that I have a big, like, it's a big advantage for me that I know how to work out and that I have that escape. I think that with anything, if you're, like, a big-time basketball player, a big-time dancer, like, you have to have something else that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. Because if you're fully consumed by that one thing, like, it's not going to be enjoyable. Like,
it's going to eat you alive, yeah.
Yeah, like, and but it's hard sometimes because they're both physical, and I want to go work out, and I'm like, I can't be sore tonight. I can't do legs today.
Exactly.
So that part's hard, too. But also, like, you said something, I forget what it was, but comparison. Mm-hmm. Like,
comparison is the thief of joy.
It is. And you, once I stopped, like in my middle school days, it was a big thing. I would be like, I want to be this person. Oh my gosh, look at this. Scrolling through social media and comparison, just stop. Like, you will never be that person. Like, just be your best self. Like,
exactly.
And that's not saying that you're not going to have to work for it, like, to be your best self, but it will come. It's you. Like, be your best self. And once you stop comparing, like, the growth is unstoppable. It just is, I think. So
that's, I'm ready. I'm like, there's like a window right there. I feel like I'm about to just like go. So yeah, you've had it here, I guess. We'll put a, I'm going to put all your, is it okay if people can contact you? Like,
yeah.
Or anything like that. So it's all going to be down in the description below. And people watching this, it doesn't matter if you did. Matter of fact, I challenge you. If you're watching this, I want you to go take a class from Ashley. Don't be scared. Maybe she's has been doing some, like, lives on IG. And I remember she did one long, I think it was like a month ago or something. I can't remember. But
yeah, it was like a month ago.
Yeah. So hit her up correctly and respectively. But thank you for coming on. And
thank you so much. This was so much fun. And yeah, guys, please reach out if you, like, I can do privates. I can do anything. But more than just dance-wise, like, if you need just some motivation, and I'm not, like, a motivational speaker. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not motivated every day, not a positive person every day, but I do understand, like, how it feels to be a teenager in this time and age trying to follow your goals and have all these, like, roadblocks in the way.
Yeah.
So I can help you jump over those if you need some help.
Sweet. That's all it.